Hello, let's make sure that everything sounds good.
I can hear myself perfectly well. Yay, got it. I tried to do my hair for you guys, even though you can't see me. But I just realized that when I record, like when I get ready to record, like do my hair, my makeup, like I feel so much better doing it. So it goes to the fact of the energy you put into things equals the results you get out of it. So if you do something half-ass, you're going to get a half-ass result. So I want to be able to put so much love and so much energy and so much good vibes into these episodes, because that's what I want to give to the world, give back to the world, and give back to you guys, because you deserve it. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. Hi, beautiful souls. Thank you for tuning in once again. My name is Vanessa, and I am the host of Unicorns Do Exist podcast. And one of my friends suggested this episode, and I love it. It goes hand in hand with the dark feminine energy that we are embodying this new year. And it's all about being in our villain era. What do I mean by that? For me, I feel like I am in my villain era. I ever feel like I am finally choosing me no matter what. If that makes me the bad guy in someone else's story, let them write their own story or a telenovela. Let them write their little telenovela. I'm completely okay with it. I'm not talking about being mean or evil or going after revenge or anything like that. Just simply prioritizing me. And for someone who's been always a people pleaser, I feel like I've had people-pleasing tendencies my entire life, but when people around you are so used to seeing that version of you, the moment you choose you, it takes them back. It kind of says like, wait, what? You're what? You would never say that before. You would never do that before. And correct, they're 100% correct. Because I would always put their feelings, their emotions, their needs above mine, above my own. And I thought that was a beautiful thing to have, a beautiful habit of mine as well. Like, I embrace it. I love being very giving and kind, but I'm no longer doing it if it costs my peace. I'm no longer doing it if it means that I'm not going to have enough for me. I'm no longer doing it if it means that I am going to suffer from it. Where before I was always very quick to give you my last dollar, even if it meant that I would stay with no money. That is something that does not make me better than anyone. Remember I said, your amount of suffering doesn't make you virtuous or righteous. So realize that there's no point in that. When you're in the plane and they say, put on your mask first, that's what this means. My villain era is I'm putting on my mask first to make sure I stay alive. And even then, I think it's mostly because I am a mom. Someone else needs me. Someone that I chose to bring to this world, that had no say, that that I chose to bring to this world and had no say, so therefore I need to show up for them. That's my responsibility, my duty. At least for me, that's how I think about it. I really do say that my son grew up, and those balls that he got, like, rubbed off on me, because I feel stronger than ever. People pleasers are praised until they wake up. So for so long, everybody was, you're so nice, until I'm like, wait a minute, what is this niceness giving me? I don't longer want to be a nice person. I want to be a good human. I want to be a good woman, not a nice person. Nice people get walked all over. Nice people always finish last, you know, and that is true. I'd rather be a good human, a good mom, or a good Catholic versus a nice one. And it all started, definitely after I became a mom, I no longer cared to be liked by everyone. I no longer cared to be everyone's friend. I no longer cared to make sure everybody was okay. Like, now my priority is myself, so I could be an amazing mother for my son. Now my priority is my son. Now my priority is my family. My priorities completely shifted. But with that, my people-pleasing habits also kind of went away. And at first, it was not taken very well by other people. Everyone that was used to me putting them first took it very personal, was offended. didn't know how to react, was taken back for a minute, but I was so okay with it. That's where they started to say, like, oh, you changed. You're so mean now. You're not as nice. And it's like, I'm still the nicest person you'll ever meet, but I'm no longer putting your needs above mine, above my own. I just simply stopped being emotionally available for everybody 24/7. Yeah, after I had my son, everybody out of nowhere was, oh my God, you changed. Oh my God, you changed. And yes, I did. Of course I did. The one constant thing in this world is change. Most importantly, that's the point. Becoming a mother is supposed to change you. You're supposed to be more responsible. Your son's supposed to be your priority. That's part of the process. Growth will change you. If you are not growing, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're going backwards, if you ask me. And not everybody does change. Not everyone grows with you. And to them, especially if they're not ready to grow or change or be better, they're going to resent it because you're going to be a reminder of what they're not doing. They're going to be a reminder of where they're lacking. So they're going to try to make you feel bad for having boundaries or for changing, for not wanting to party every weekend or every Wednesday, for that matter. Those things are supposed to stop being so important. I'm not saying they're supposed to stop happening at all. I love to party. I love to have a good time. The older my son gets, the more I'm able to go out and have a great time. Now I have more free time. My son also doesn't need me as much as he did when he was a newborn. So the best thing I've been able to do in practice is just let them. I'm in a point where if you think I'm mean or evil, perfect. I'm being mean or evil. Unless, for example, I'm not saying I don't hold myself accountable for things. If I say something mean that I know is just uncalled for, then I am not too proud. I'm humble enough to say I'm sorry and admit when I'm wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying F the world and not care about everybody. No, I'm saying if you genuinely hurt someone, yes, take accountability. Especially if it's your family or someone you truly love. Like, they deserve that. But for example, if you want to go drink and I say no because I am a mom or I want to stay home and take care of my kid, or like, let's say, for example, tomorrow, you know, I don't want to wake up hungover and then be a shitty mom. That is not bad. That's a boundary. That's saying, hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it. How about we do it next time that I don't have my son? How about we do it on the next time that I don't have to get up early? One of the biggest things right now is knowing what is mine and what I am worth and not wanting anything less than that. And people might say, well, why are you doing this to me? I didn't do anything to you. This was your choice. The decisions that you made led us here. And if you think that makes me a horrible person after years of knowing me, then I have to just let you think what you want to think. Meaning, if you're being misunderstood, and if the person doesn't care enough to have a conversation about it, and if you tried already, you simply just have to let them misunderstand you, let them gossip, let them feel uncomfortable. They're only hurting themselves. For so long, I wouldn't say anything bad, even though something bothered me, or even though it was uncalled for, even though it was like subtle gestures that I was just like, I'm just gonna let slide. Just to not make the other person feel uncomfortable. But I felt uncomfortable. Someone still had to feel uncomfortable. Now I'm at a point in my life where I'm sorry, but I'm not going to take it. I'm going to speak up. And if it makes you uncomfortable, then we're going to fix the situation. But I'm not going to sit here quietly and feeling uncomfortable just to protect your emotions and your feelings. Let them think you're the villain, because you're not here to manage other people's feelings anymore. That's the boundary. I'm not here to manage anyone's feelings. Postpartum really was a huge awakening for me, in a sense where we both wanted this baby, right? We both said, we're going to get pregnant. Then we go and get pregnant. And I'm the one crying in bed because of the migraines. I'm the one hurting. I'm the one not being able to work because the sunlight would hurt my eyes and the migraines would just make it all worse. Calling her and just crying alone in my room. That happened for like 2-3 months to the point where I was like three and a half months pregnant, and I called my aunt and I was like, yeah, I can't. I give up. Like, I don't think I can make it. I don't think if this is what it's going to be for 9 months, I don't think I'm going to be able to survive. You know, thank God she talked to me. She prayed with me and she was like, you're stronger than this. You got this. God gives everybody what they can handle. And so her calming me down and helping me through it so that with my beautiful, amazing baby shower came and I'm running around and I'm trying to get everything together and I'm setting up the place and also trying to clean, and my partner is like not helping, you know, like just getting ready, and I'm like, hey, can you do this, can you do that, can you come here, can you go there? And she's like, for her to just simply say, oh my God, you're no fun, can't wait till my friends get here. And instead of blowing up and instead of like telling her how I felt and instead of getting angry with her, I stayed quiet so I wouldn't make it a big deal, so I wouldn't fight, have a fight on the baby shower, so I wouldn't make the rest of our guests feel uncomfortable. I just stayed quiet. And now I look back and think of like, you're so fucking stupid, Vanessa. Like, why would you stay quiet? That's the girl that I don't want to be anymore. That's the girl I'm not anymore. Because the times that you couldn't be there, and I understood, and I never complained or anything about work. The times that you wanted to be there, but you couldn't because of work, I never complained, I never said anything about it. Yet, as soon as you had a chance to be there, they complained about how I was no fun, different, a whiner. I was nagging, there you go. I was nagging simply because I would want them there. I think that taught me a lot. Like, the whole process of being pregnant and being pregnant with this person taught me so much that I was blind to, that I didn't want to see, that I didn't expect, that that shifted me into this villain era. My entire pregnancy did that. And then my son came. And then now my priority is my son. Like I said, he didn't ask to be born. We chose to bring him to this world. And I think when you're so used to being the priority and you've never experienced putting someone else first, that was a huge shocker for them. And so once again, I was the mean one. I was the nagging one. I changed so much. Yes, I changed. I don't want you spending 12 hours at work and then leaving to go drink. Yes, I changed. I need you here. I changed. I am a mother. You're no longer my priority. And I didn't really see it. And so throughout the whole time, I was the mean one. I was the evil one. I was so hard to talk to. Oh, I don't want to come home to this. Like, now I just laugh because it's like, well, no shit. I wouldn't want to come home to me either. But if simply you would have just stepped up and done what a parent does, none of that would have been like, all of that could have been avoided. Either way. Yeah. I had to learn to love my mean side. I had to learn to love my nagging side. I had to learn to love the side of me that no longer put them first. And even after we separated, now with the divorce and me asking for certain things, it's like, how dare you ask for this? Because I'm no longer thinking about you and what you need and how to make everything easier for you. That's the difference. The difference is I'm now thinking about me and my son and what's going to be the best for him. And after putting them first for 10 years or 9.5, of course they're going to be appalled. Of course they're going to be angry. Of course they're not going to know how to react. And I just simply let them. Sure, because I'm okay loving this new side of me, loving this. I don't want to say mean because I'm not mean. I don't go just loving my boundaries, loving my standards, loving what I believe I deserve. Moving out here, even after we separated, I remember she would drive down. She was sick or something. Instead of her taking care of our son, then she would come here and then I would take care of her and then my son as well. Like, you know, like, I mean, like, it's just, I think about it, it's funny. But knowing that, hey, I did that. I never complained. I never was upset. I didn't mind. Obviously, like, I still take care of him. Because my son needed that. My son needed his mom to be good. And so that's how I always see it. Like, if it's going to be good for my son, then perfect. I'll do it. I don't mind. That's where the dark feminine rebirth came from me. No more victim mentality, no more saying poor me. Now it's more of like, okay, what is the best thing for me? Everything works out for me because I said so, because I claim it. And I turned the why me into just. And as soon as I did that, as soon as I stopped excusing my decisions or justifying myself for choosing me, this inner peace just came over, this like sense of peace and calm and like clarity, and then just no resentment, just like absolute love this person and understand why they're so taken back. But it's just the best choices, the best decisions, the best habit I've been able to develop. And like I said, in the beginning, it was hard because I wanted to be loved. I wanted to be liked. I didn't want to offend them. I didn't want to push them away. And boundaries will do that. Boundaries will push people away sooner or quicker than anything else. And they will blame you for it. They would want to make you think that it's your fault. How dare you not do what I want you to do so that I could be happy? I love when Abraham Hicks says it. Which is, how dare you do whatever you want in your life? Because I don't like it. So if you're in your villain era, it's hard. Girl, hang in there. Your real friends will understand. Your real friends will stay with you. Your real friends will be glad that you're putting yourself first. And the ones that are having issues and spiraling and going crazy in their own mind, those are the ones that never had the best intention for you. Those are the ones that just had you around because it benefited them. Choosing yourself is not selfish. It's sacred. And if choosing self-respect and loving yourself makes you a villain in someone else's story, just let them. Let them. There's something else I wanted to talk about. And we're going to shift real quick. This is going to be something completely different. And it was funny because it came to me while I was asleep. I recorded it myself as soon as I woke up because I didn't want to forget it. It kind of goes with it, but not really. I was literally like, you know that moment where you're about to wake up, but you're still in bed, but you don't know if you're dreaming or you're awake and you're hearing things? I clearly heard myself talking to myself, telling me like, Vanessa, you have to talk about this. Like, someone has to hear this part. And it's just like, look, everyone that thinks they've hurt you or everyone that's doing something mean, trying to hurt you, is only hurting themselves. And I'll prove it to you. The first person ever I fell in love with went behind my back and cheated on me, thinking they were hurting me, right? Not caring about my emotions and my feelings. And yes, I got hurt along the way. I got hurt in the process of it. However, that taught me a lesson. That made me better and made me stronger. They, on the other hand, that's their karma. That's something they can't and they will never outrun. So my first ex, he came back crying, begging, pleading. And at the end of the day, he has to live with that for the rest of his life. And he didn't come back because I'm like the best person in the world or like I'm the catch. No, he came back because of his own guilt. He suffered based on his own guilt. My first girlfriend ever. Someone told her I cheated on her. She believed them instead of just talking to me or coming to me. So she went and cheated on me. And once again, I got hurt in the process of it. However, I moved on, learned, became stronger and better. Years later, we were at the bar. She had a mutual friend, so she was there. Years had passed. We talked and I was like, I never cheated on you. The person that told them I cheated was there. And she even confirmed, said, oh, yeah, that wasn't true. I made it up. And now her own karma was years later, she apologized. She's like, I went through so much other stuff. And that was her hurting herself. She hurt herself, not me. Amazing girl now. This was like over 20 years ago. So maybe a little less. So we talked. We're good now. We made amends. She apologized. I forgave her. But all of that suffering, she caused on herself. Not because I'm the shit, not because I'm amazing, but it's their own karma. The girlfriend after her cheated on me as well. Right? I moved on. Cried my life. Cried, grew, got better. A year later, she comes back in her girlfriend's car, drove to Anaheim to beg and plead and ask me back. She thought she hurt me. She just hurt herself. I did nothing wrong. And sometimes I sit here and think, I'm like, fuck, I should be meaner. But then I remember, no, that's just going to be my own karma. The day I go and hurt someone, it's going to be my karma. And that might be true. That, you know, and I know that it's true because when I did hurt someone who was kind and loving and great human to me, those people cheating on me, that was my karma. So every time you hurt someone, you're not hurting them. You're hurting yourself. You're creating negative karma that you cannot outrun. So I don't speak to all of them, but the ones that apologized and we made amends and we spoke, everything became better. Things become better. Like kind of like when you, how do you say it? When you pay what you owe, like energetic karma, energetic or negative energy that you have, like debt. Once you apologize and you pretty much pay back, you can't outrun your karma, whether it's good or bad. Karma exists either way. The whole you reap what you sow. And my sister tells me, how are you not angry? But understanding that even if I do say something that is mean, simply just to be mean, simply to say it, there's times I do. And I know that that's just only hurting me. So I apologize to God, to them, for my own sake. So I am very selfish. I am selfish. I'm selfish in a sense where I want the best life. I want an amazing love. I want to live an extraordinary life full of blessings and adventures and love and great people and great food and great drinks. But I understand that for me to do that, I simply have to be the best and kindest version of myself. Telling someone off isn't gonna do that for me. So I started the podcast because I wanted to spread more love. I want to spread abundance. I want to help and share because I know that the more I give, the more I do for others, the more the God in the universe is gonna give me. This is just a tool for me to get to that. So yes, in that sense, I am very selfish. I do nice things because it makes me feel good. My sister once said, like, why do you... We're talking about something, and she's just like, what do you care? They did it to themselves. And I said, yeah, you're probably right. But if something happens to them, if they die, and I know I did nothing to help or prevent it or show up, oh, hell no, that's going to be my karma. It's going to be on my conscience. It's going to make me feel like shit. So I'm doing this for
me. So yes, I'm doing this for me. At the end of the day,
it's always about me, just like it's always about you. Everything that you do in life is for you. It's not for no one else. Even if it's an act of kindness, that act of kindness makes you feel something and it calls back to you. So choose what kind of person you want to be. Before you go, hear me loud and clear one last time. Your villain era isn't about being cold. It's about being whole. It's the season, you know, 'tis the season. It's the season where you return to your power, you protect your peace, and you stop apologizing for choosing you. And like always, if this episode hit your soul, made you think, or made you feel seen, share it. Send it to a friend who's overdue for her rebirth. Support your unicorns out there the way you wish someone would have supported you. And stay tuned. I've got some amazing news dropping soon. Trust me, you're going to want to be here for it. Until then, embrace your villain era, embrace your strength, embrace your power. And don't forget to follow the podcast on Instagram at Unicorns Do Exist, so you never miss an episode. Thanks. Talk to you soon.